Now it's time for the Young Leaders Program, where we have Wurrielik Primary School students interviewing staff members from Healesville Sanctuary. And this morning, our very special guest is Dr. Leanne Wicker. She is the Senior Veterinarian at the Australian Wildlife Health Centre. And our interviewers are Frankie, Abby and Crystal. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us, and I'm very excited to be doing this. My first question, Leanne, is why did you decide to become a vet?
Good question. When I was 7 years old, one of my aunties asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. There was a television show on TV at the time, went for a really long time, and you guys would not know about it. It was called A Country Practice, so that's me showing my age. And there was a female vet on there, which was awesome in those days, and her name was Vicky, and she had a wombat called Fatso. I was 7 when I decided I was going to be a wildlife vet, so here I am.
For kids that may want to become vets, how long do they need to study, and what advice for them?
So obviously you need to finish school, and if you want to become a vet, actually more than the study, I'm going to say that it's really important that you have a real passion for the animals and for improving their welfare. It's really important to remember that for a lot of vets who work in private practices, you know, when you take your pets to see a vet, that every pet comes with an owner. And so it's really interesting. Lots of people become vets because they really just love animals, but actually you always have to have a lot to do with people as well. So being able to, really chat to people and understand, a lot about how their animal is just from talking to them is also really important. It's not just about animals. So you need to finish school, obviously, and you do need to study pretty hard because it's not an easy course to get into. And then you need to go to university. And there's quite a few universities in Australia that offer a vet degree. But for most of them now, it's what they call postgraduate. So you actually have to do at least the start of a different degree first, and then you go into that degree. It's a really, really long time studying. You have to be pretty, passionate, determined to get through to the other end. So, yeah, I'd say without doubt, you obviously need to love animals to become a vet. But it's about more than just animals.
How did you get the role of the head vet at Healesville Sanctuary?
How did I get the role of head vet at Healesville Sanctuary? Gosh, I will tell you that it was a bit of a dream job for me. When I was studying at university, I spent a month at the sanctuary as a student intern, and we still take students, vet students, in their final year now. And when I came to the sanctuary a little while ago as a student, I just loved it so much. I always wanted to come and work at the sanctuary. But to become a wildlife vet is a little bit more of an effort because, most of the time when you graduate from university, you're quite good at treating cats and dogs and cows and all of those sorts of things, but there's not a lot of wildlife in our course. And so I guess I actually spent quite a lot of time already working as a wildlife vet. I worked in Vietnam for about a decade working with wildlife confiscated from the illegal wildlife trade and trying to understand the health of those animals. And came back to Australia and got a job as a vet at the sanctuary first, and then 3 years ago I became the senior vet at the sanctuary.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Young Leaders Program, a new special edition of Schools In.
Thanks, Cora. Leanne, what are the things you love about your job?
Oh, so gosh, that is a tough question because I really love my job, every day you never know what might happen, what animal you might see. We, at the sanctuary, we look after all of the animals that are in our collection. So all of our threatened species, you might get to see a Tasmanian devil or an orange-bellied parrot, one of our kangaroos or koalas. But we also run a really busy rescue hospital. So if any of our local community find sick or injured Australian wildlife, they can bring those animals in. And that's so lovely, being able to interact with our community. And, when we work with those animals and they get better, we fix whatever it was that they came in with and we're able to release them again. Actually, that probably is one of my favourite things.
What are the things you don't love about your job?
Gosh, you guys are asking the really tricky questions today. I guess sometimes, sometimes in our work, things don't always turn out the way we hoped. You know, we can't fix all of the animals. And so I think that can be a little bit sad, particularly with those animals that come in with members of the community or other vets or rangers, because when we see those animals, they've been hit by a car or maybe they've been attacked by our dogs or our cats. It's so often the case that we see wild animals that have bumped into human society and come off worse. And I guess that, for me, I find that incredibly sad. But you can turn that around as well. It's an opportunity, you know, to educate people. And I hope you guys have been able to come to the sanctuary and come into the Australian Wildlife Health Centre. We're really lucky that visitors can come into our hospital and then we can talk about the cases. And so it's a really great opportunity to talk to our visitors and sort of explain that, you know, keep your cats inside, you know, dogs attack wildlife as well. Be aware of that. Think about those sorts of things. What can we do to make our society safer for wildlife? They were here first.
How do you help the animals at AWHC?
Oh, yeah, well, the animals can't tell us, can they? They can't tell us what's wrong with them. And so we have a really, really lovely team of vets and nurses working together. The animals will come in and we make an assessment of what's wrong. We often have to anaesthetise animals. Wildlife doesn't tend to like us. You know, if you go to your vet, the vet's able to do an examination and maybe listen to their chest or whatever it is while the animal's awake. And that often is difficult for us. So we work out what's wrong and then we make plans and we work together as a team to try and help the animals as best we can. Some of the animals are actually rehabilitated at the sanctuary and then get released. But the other thing that we do is work really closely with registered wildlife carers, and we might send animals out to them for rehab. Yeah. I guess, is that what you were talking about, the animals that come in or all of the animals in our care?
I was in Mallacoota while the bushfires struck last year. I heard you were there too, helping injured wildlife. What type of jobs did you have to do there?
Well, I think that was a really big experience, wasn't it, to have been there at that time. We actually were watching the fires unfold from here, from Healesville, and we work really closely with Victoria's government Environment Department in emergency response, and so we were here in the sanctuary planning. We could see those big fires coming in, we could see how far they were spreading, and also we were really aware of the devastating effect that they were having on our wildlife. And so we were actually here at the sanctuary planning where we would set up triage units, and then I think Mallacoota just really quickly became the really big fire that we really clearly had to help. And so I wasn't there during the fires. I flew in the following week. We came in on one of those Defence Force planes. I'm not sure if one of those ones that you flew out on. The plane I flew in on, there were lots of people being evacuated, particularly mums and dads with their kids. We came in to help a local community group. There was a wildlife carer who had established a wildlife shelter in the community centre there in Mallacoota. There were lots of koalas and other injured wildlife, tiny frogmouths and little feathertail gliders, a whole range of species, but mainly koalas. And so we went there and helped them with the work that they'd already set up. We saw lots of koalas with really bad burns, some of them we weren't able to save, but we were able to save quite a lot. Some of them were released there. After a few days in care, we just had to treat them, dehydration, make sure that their smoke inhalation was resolved, and off they went. And we worked with beautiful community members to find, you know, some areas of forest that hadn't been burnt. That was pretty hard in that area. We've also got some koalas here, though. You know, some of them were really badly injured. They came back to the sanctuary in Melbourne Zoo and were sent to different wildlife carers. And now we're working with the government department to work out where are we going to release them. They've got to go home to Mallacoota, so that's going to be they're all looking really great. They've healed and they're climbing and they look amazing, and so, you know, we're going to wait till after, let's let those gums have spring flush, and then we're going to work with the community and the department to get them back home. So that's what I did. I went in and helped with the wildlife that was affected by those people. bushfires.
Are animals at risk of COVID-19? Does COVID-19 affect animals?
Good question. Gosh, the whole world has been affected by COVID-19, hasn't it? It's had such an impact on our lives. And yes, we do know that there are some animals that are affected by it. It's actually called a zoonosis or zoonotic disease. I don't know if you know that word. That's a disease that originally came from animals. So we know that COVID-19 is caused by a virus, a coronavirus, and it came from animals, and now it affects people. We also know that there are some cases where people have then transmitted the virus back to animals, some dogs, cats. They don't seem to be getting sick, and they don't share it back. So, but in one of the zoos in the United States, they had tigers and lions that showed, you know, respiratory signs, and they got COVID-19, I think, from one of the keepers. So that was pretty serious. So at Zoos Victoria, at the sanctuary, we've been really aware of that. The animals that we're worried about, we might wear face masks. We're really aware. But we shouldn't think of, I think, our Australian animals as being a risk to us at all. There's no evidence to suggest that. So, yeah, it does affect animals, and it has definitely affected the way we look after them.
What's the most unusual animal you've treated?
I'm a wildlife vet. So, gosh, so many different animals, you know. And I think what might be unusual to me, might be different to everyone. We're really lucky. You know, we might treat frogs, like little tiny corroboree frogs, or we have a conservation breeding program for the little skink, the Guthaga skink. They're such an interesting animal. They're from our alpine regions here in Victoria, tiny little beautiful skinks. Sometimes for me, the little animals are the most challenging, like, and unusual, because everything's reduced in size, and we sort of go, how are we going to take blood or take an x-ray from this tiny little animal? I'll tell you one interesting thing. You probably all know about a thing called an ultrasound machine. It's a type of machine that doctors and vets use to help look at in the inside of bodies. There's a special ultrasound probe that human doctors use on human eyes, right? So they're designed for the tiny little structures inside our eyes. And actually, it's one of our favourite probes at the sanctuary, because we've got tiny little animals. And so for a corroboree frog, that little eye probe is actually just all of the beautiful, we can look inside a corroboree frog and see its heartbeat. So I think that's for me, is the most unusual, thinking about everything but in miniature.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the fabulous new program, Young Leaders, with Wurrielik Primary School students interviewing staff members from Healesville Sanctuary. And today's special guest is Dr. Leanne Wicker, who is the Senior Veterinarian at the Australian Wildlife Health Centre.
What are the challenges of working at Healesville Sanctuary compared to working at a vet clinic?
I think the biggest challenge would be the variety of animals that we see. So we, we're able to use our knowledge of other mammals or birds and reptiles to be able to treat them. But for lots of the animals that we see, there's not very much known. And so we always feel a little bit like we're, really having to, dig deep and try to understand what's going on in different species. So I think that's the biggest challenge. There's not a lot known about all of the species that we see. And sometimes we might be the first people who's ever treated a certain condition in that particular species, and we have to, really work out what we're going to do and how we're going to approach it. And I think also working with wildlife is a big challenge, because some of the things that you might want to do, if this was someone's pet, be really tricky. I can't necessarily give a tablet twice a day to a kangaroo. They don't work with us like that. So that can be really challenging as well, trying to think how we're going to treat these animals in a way that's useful for them, and that we manage the welfare while we're trying to get them better.
If we find an injured animal, what should we do?
Great question. As I said, we run a really busy rescue hospital, and actually anyone from throughout Victoria, we get injured animals, injured wildlife from other vets, from our rangers, from members of the public and from wildlife carers. If you see an injured animal, if you look on Zoos Victoria's website, you can, and you Google like Zoo Victoria, Australian Wildlife Health Centre, or Injured Wildlife, there's a phone number on our website. You can come into the sanctuary, to the vet department, the vet hospital at the sanctuary, anytime between 9 and 4 p.m. on any day. We're there 7 days a week, and we will happily look after injured wildlife for you. And then the really lovely thing is if we're successful in getting that animal better, we can give you a call, and the people who bring it in can also help us then to release those animals back where they came from. So if you find any injured wildlife, I'm going to tell you one really important piece of advice. Make sure that you write down exactly where you found that animal. It's really important that we get the animals back to where they came from. So if you find injured wildlife, bring it into us. We'd really be happy to help you. That's what we're there for. But make sure you remember where you found it.
Thank you, Leanne, for letting us interview you. It's been really interesting. Thanks.
It's been a pleasure for me. Really lovely to talk to you girls and to you too, Cora. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you for having us, Cora.
Thank you. It was wonderful.